Hey, your Backup Plan Tribe. Today is another wonderful live stream podcast, which will be up on all of our platforms very, very soon. I'm just going to wait to get some people in. If you guys have any comments or any questions, awesome. Just send me a note. We'll try and answer any questions during the podcast or the show as well. So thank you so very much for coming out to our channel today. Welcome, your Backup Plan Tribe. If you guys are new here, my name is Tina Ginn. I am an emergency preparedness coach, a best-selling author of In the Blink of an Eye, a financial expert, and an app developer of Your Backup Plan app. And I'm located here in beautiful Vancouver, BC. You can see the sun just trying to come out there today. So welcome. I'm so happy to have you guys here today with us. I interview real life people with their real life stories each and every day, each and every week, each and every month. If there isn't been a show that you've seen, check out some more of those different videos. They're amazing, amazing people I meet all the time on our shows. Give this video a like, share, and subscribe just down here in the corner. Give it a thumbs up if you'd like us to continue doing these great videos and interviews. Your Backup Plan app puts your life all in one place. All of that stuff that's all up in your head that no one else knows but you. Yeah, that stuff. And preparation for any unpredictable circumstance. And that could be floods, hurricanes, surgery, medical diseases, cancer, heart attack, car accident. Oh, the list goes on. I could continue forever. So, and it takes that painful aftermath out of that tragedy, because that's what we're all here for, you to be better prepared for the unexpected, because you never know what tomorrow will bring. And I'd like to thank my German listeners, because you guys are really kicking ass when it comes to listening to our show these days. We're coming up to our 1 year anniversary. So meine deutsche Freunde sind in unserem Podcast willkommen. Wenn Sie Kommentare haben, können Sie gern Fragen stellen. Also, danke für deine Freundschaft. So thank you. Thank you so very much. And our next big country is Ireland, and I have not learned the Irish accent yet. I'm very, very sorry, but I'm going to work on that one. So thank you guys. Thank you so very much. And I would like to bring on our very special, beautiful guest today from Sydney, Australia. And her name is Martha Mock, and she has a lot to tell us about ending suffering and don't suffer in silence. Welcome, Martha.
Hi, Tina. Hi, audience. How are we all today?
Oh, that's awesome. And I'm so excited to kind of give you a little bio of Martha here for us. It will only take a second. She is known as a super confident coach, a motivational speaker, an international makeup artist, an entrepreneur, and an author of 5 books. And she is going to share those books with us in the link down below, as well as I have her website and all that stuff. All that great stuff is in the description box below. So welcome, Martha, to our show today.
Thank you for having me. Such an honor.
Oh, thank you for coming on and really having the courage and embracing the moment to tell your story of your journey that you've had and experienced. I'm anxious to hear about that.
It's always lovely. It is one of the things that I have learned for the last year, to learn to be vulnerable, to learn to be sharing my story, because I'm just like one of you listeners outside, a daughter, a wife, a partner, a sister, and we all have this power within us that we can reclaim our voice again after trauma, after depression, after abuse. So that's why I'm here today, and I thank Tina for giving us this opportunity and for us to connect and share our story.
Absolutely. That's what I'm all about. Things changed, you know, during COVID. And I think we are looking and we're drawing that sort of energy into all of us, that we need that positivity. So tell us where it all started for you, Martha.
I have been a super confident coach for women for about a year now. And before that, I'm a multi-award winning international makeup artist. And during that time, I have this, what we call the very shiny entrepreneur phase. I'm on stage, I'm on a competition judge, and I'm very comfortable in my skin when I'm in my work mode. But at home, no one knows that I was suffering for over 30 years, that I was in an abusive relationship for 19 years, been bullied at school since the age of 6, and was sexually molested by someone I trust when I was only age of 4. So All of that didn't turn me into dark, and I choose to be light.
Well, that is a choice, right? That we don't realize that we have.
Yes.
Absolutely. So how did you take all of that? What kind of experiences did you find that you had obstacles in that time frame?
I believe that is finding help. What was the hardest thing? Being with a shiny mask, like I said, it's hard to be vulnerable, and it's even shameful to even ask for help for things that happen at home. Like, I wish that I knew about something like your backup plan apps here, that people who can reach out. But during my time of depression and trauma, I didn't know that there was help outside. I feel ashamed of who I am. I feel like that I'm the only outcast outside, that no one wants to know about my story. No one would care about my feelings. And I have to be tough and strong just so that I can survive. And to be honest with you, before I met my current partner now, I didn't want to live more than 60 years old, because I thought that that would be enough of a life for me to go for. So thanks to my current partner and becoming a coach myself, it have given me a future that I could only dare to dream before. So I'm so grateful for the opportunity to share my story with you and to connect with beautiful people like Tina here.
Oh, thank you. I really want to get the understanding of what position were you put in at 4. Did you struggle to tell your parent, or did you struggle to tell a friend, or, you know?
My parents don't really know what happened. That's the truth. It still hasn't been known, because I always actually say a funny thing is, like, thank God they don't understand English, so they don't know what's actually going on. So that helps. But the hard thing was, like, even just going to friends and family, you will leak out a little bit of information, but not all of it, because you feel ashamed. And only to the people that you trust, like, I have two friends that actually knows the full story, the extent of the story that I was being in. But it's like peeling off a layer of your onions that you have inside. You're starting to learn to take these little funny steps to actually share your story, because it is scary. It is like you have this fear of rejection, fear of judgment that is constantly in your head thinking about it. So going through that was tough, but I encourage anyone that who have a story, the one other thing that I wish I could have done is to reach out for help and to just ask, hey, I am suffering from this at the moment and I need help. And only when I noticed that it is okay to ask for help, I began to end my suffering. I began to actually ask for people's support, getting their help to get out from my abusive marriage.
So you were abused, then you got married, bullied, and then you got abused again.
Yeah. I think that sometimes that because we are vibrating in a different vibration, and when we are going into, like, from my school years, because I was always bullied, and I kind of developed this shell that is like, hey, you know what? No matter what I do, people will think that I'm awkward, I'm weird, and you know what? I just starting to absorb it and let it be. And when it's starting to be absorbed, it's things starting to get better in my final years of school. And when I, because of that lack of connection, that emptiness, that loneliness that I felt all the time, I was craving for a partner. I was craving for someone that who can give me a family, who can be next to me and support me. And so I married the first guy that I met, my first weird boyfriend, after 2.5 months, 21 years old, got married while I was in Hong Kong doing a holiday. And I actually stayed there for 3 years as well. And Hong Kong working was not easy. I was very, very blessed in my career sense. I was supervisor of marketing since the age of 21. I was given a lot of opportunity. But at home, I was so lonely. I was so sad. Every single night I go home, I face four walls and I started to cry every single night. And my ex-husband will be going out partying 3-4 o'clock at night. And sometimes I will even do more crazier thing. I get out of my own house, my apartment, and sit down right next to the bus stop, trying to see if he will come home. I would sit there in the cold for hours, just waiting for him. That craving and greediness of attention, getting that justification. I think that was my mindset at that time. Wanting to be heard, wanting to be here, but then come back with absolutely nothing and things did not get better. And you always tend to have hope. And I believe that in a marriage, when we say our vows for the good or for the bad, for the sickness or in health. And I believe in that. And that's why I stay. And there was one more thing that kept me in that marriage for 19 years. If someone wondering, like, why didn't you get out? Like, you know, you have a choice there too. I made a promise to his dying mom that I will look after him after 2 years of us being together. So I kept that promise for as long as I could until I really couldn't bear it so long. So the guilt of leaving him, the trauma of what I face every single day. And I become the greatest pretender, someone that you cannot tell what is going on inside of me. You can see me in a moody sense, but you don't know why I am. And it affects me on not just my personal level, my inside as well, and as well as my work, because I could go moody when I'm actually working.
Oh, definitely. It has a rebound effect in both your physical and mental and job. You could be the best actress, I always said, to hide the fears and the I don't think you understand abuse in your own head, you know, so it's hard to relay that out to someone because it's all just a thought of, why is that person doing that? Why are they saying that? You know, was it physical and mental abuse?
Pretty much, yeah. Mainly mental. Physical was a lot less, but still the mental abuse is like, I was never good enough. I was never good enough. I will buy him the most expensive thing that I can afford. And then like an iPhone, I think I remember one of them was an iPhone. And it's like, oh, it's not in the limited edition color, champagne gold. It's just normal iPhone. And it's sorry. Like, I feel like I was constantly not good enough. And until at the end, I just asked the question, what would it take for me to actually be the wife that you wanted? And he actually told me, you are not worth it. That's the reason why I'm treating you that way. And I'm like, what? And then he said, yes, you're worthless. So being told that for 19 years, you're starting to wake up after a while because he didn't have to work for almost 10 years. Every time that he worked, he still steal my money to actually go and do his whatever thing he do. He wouldn't come home for weeks and then I'll probably see him every now and then. And we became housemate instead of a woman, not even a roommate, because he sleep in a sofa, I sleep in a room. We don't share a bed for 4 years. And I was still able to keep my silence. And if I think about what that right now, like back into the days that I am, I'm like, why? Like, I stopped asking why. That is one other thing that I really wanted to share with everyone. When you keep asking for why, your emotions go down because you're searching for all the negativity to give yourself that validation you wasn't wrong. Accept it, what have happened, it have been happen and accept it as the way it is and start asking yourself, what else can I do? What else can I do to actually get better of this? And that's the question I asked myself on my 40th birthday. I asked myself, since I only got 20 years to live, what do I truly want in life? And I said, I wanted to be happy. So I finally took the courage to actually say, hey, I don't think this is working. And I've been trying to get out of the marriage. And then he always pulled me back afterward. And I'm like, no, on my 40th years old, I only got 20 years left to live. I really want to know what it feels like to be a woman, what it feels like to be a wife, what it feels like to have a loving partner that who celebrate my success, who cheer me up when I'm down, who have that comfort that I can have my shoulder on. It's like during my dating years, which was about a year and a half, I actually said that to guys, that which scare a lot of non-qualified guys away. So if all of you listeners wants to know about how to qualify your guy that you're doing online dating, I say do it, because like it's about learning how to have your boundaries and having your like what you want out. And I'm like, after 30 years I have enough of shutting up, okay? I want to talk, I want to express. So I give every guys that I talk to a very, very serious question. They always ask you, what are you looking for? I'm not looking for a handsome dude that have 5 houses and a dog and 5 cars. What I'm looking for,
well, is that someone could to help
me. Yes or no? Because I'm looking for something even deeper. Because I'm a very successful entrepreneur myself. I don't need that from a guy. No. Even that when I was ending my marriage, my ex-husband took all my money, and I even gave him my car. So I was left with almost nothing to actually get out of that marriage. But even still, that I didn't want that from the guy, because I know what it feels like being, they call it the golden bird in a cage, that you're not allowed to speak because you are dependent on that person. I'm like, no, that's definitely not me again. No. So what I choose was to say these 3 things. I want safety, security, and a sense of belonging. Safety meaning that I'm no longer being abused. I don't have verbal abuse and I don't have physical abuse. We can have arguments, but we must be able to work it out and do not hold anger for more than 24 hours. My security is that I just want him to have a job, that he can provide for himself, and I don't have to provide for him anymore, because I have enough of being the breadwinner of a house. It is quite a stressful thing, because I'm a makeup artist still. I have a lot of barriers and shoulders that is actually on me, and I had enough of that after 19 years. The last thing is the sense of belonging. It's actually not a sense of belonging to others. It's a sense of belonging to be me.
In your
that
heart.
I can speak my, exactly, I can speak my voice, I can be who I am, I could put my makeup on, looks amazing, and I can wear my really daggy clothes, and like you saw before, Tina, my pink socks, to actually keep myself warm, and I'm allowed to do that. So that's the kind of person that I'm looking for. And when I actually share it, when I online dating, it did scare quite a few people away. And I'm so grateful after a year and a half, I finally find my ideal partner that who will cherish me for who I am, allow me to be the unicorn, the princess, and the dinosaur. I always call it myself this way. I have multiple personality, and letting them know that what are they actually going to expect, and to curious to find out. Because I thought that at that time, getting out of my marriage, 40 years old, I'm overweight, I'm not the prettiest girl, I don't have much left, I'll have a cat, and that's it. That's all I have left in. So I'm like, okay, that is a little bit of a challenging going on to online dating. And like I mentioned before, he was my ex-husband was my first boyfriend. I don't know anything about dating. I haven't had sex with another man before. It's like everything was new for me. It was like in a jungle trying to find out, okay, I don't have a lot of time to search. And it's like, okay, how am I going to go for this? And then he's starting to go desperate and trying to go needy and all of that. And then, again, that was another journey on itself, trying to express yourself and hold your dignity and hold your boundaries. That is the biggest thing that I find for a woman, that we need to learn to have our boundaries. And having that boundary allowed me to build up a really strong connection with my current partner. He's absolutely amazing. And the funny thing was, Tina, well, after being in an abusive marriage for 19 years, you come out, you still actually have that triggers in front of your like in your brain. So when you, even when you meet the ideal person, you don't know, because inside of you, somehow you're pushing him away. But the funny thing is about human psychology. If he really wants you, even you push him away, he still keep coming. That's what a human psychology is. So like ladies out there, this is what you do. Okay, guys there as well. You don't chase, okay? You drop like back crumbs and then let them call back in. So that's the method I use.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. And during that time, I didn't know that he was my ideal partner until my trauma therapist, because we become a very good friend. And she said that, oh, wow, isn't that the perfect guy you were looking for? And I'm like, really? Really? And then I go back to my checklist. I was like, yeah, he did take a lot of things. Yes, no one is perfect. We are all perfectly imperfect. But yeah, he did kick a lot of the boxes there. He is actually quite my ideal partner in it. So not until I realized that your heart still tend to have a barrier. And I'm not saying that to pour your heart out like immediately, because that would scare anyone away. That's the truth. If you're in a relationship, like a drip feed is a lot nicer than pouring everything out, because it would scare anyone away. And just that, having that drip flowing a little bit faster than before. And I think that by doing that, it helps to build up a relationship, it build up a deeper connection. And especially my partner, he's actually a Navy. So he will be on deployments for months at a time. Like he's gone for 5 weeks this time. And then after that, he's gone for 5 months. But even for that, it doesn't affect my insecurity. I don't have that issue anymore, thinking, oh, when, what time is he going to come home? Am I going to sit at a bus stop waiting for him to come? I don't have that anymore, because I finally find my sense of belonging from the inside, that I feel amazing next to this person with me.
Right. And I guess it's called self-love. Mm. Loving yourself from the inside out. And I just know what abusive relationships can do to you. And you really question yourself. You really question, is it you? Is it something you said? Is it, you know, and it just, people are going to ask, well, why did Martha stay so long? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And mental abuse is like, to me, it's very similar to bullying. Because the bullies, they always did it. I know with my own kids, it was the same thing. It's hidden. It's quiet. It's sneaky. It's all of these things to manipulate your thought process.
Yes.
And I think when you jump out of it, like you said, and you're dating, you have to start saying really, saying to yourself, is this a my thought or is this an old thought?
I agree with you.
Right? Yeah, because you have to realize that thought. You have to realize, is it my baggage? You know, am I getting upset because it's my baggage that I still have? Because you can never... My marriage was 30 years, so I agree with you, and divorce now as well. And I think it's like growing up years. It's stuck in your head, and it's so darn hard to get out of it.
It is, because like recently, at the earlier of the year, my cat died. Like I mentioned before, that in my 19 years of marriage, the only thing that I had was a 16-year-old cat, and she passed away of old age. And I went for 3 months of depression again, going into grief, And what adds to it was that my ex-husband that I did not contact for almost 2.5 years, he find me and text me the most horrible message that you can imagine, calling me a bad mother, calling me the most mean person in the world, how dare am I, and things like that. And I'm grateful that night when it happened, my partner was next to me. And I told him to, can you just delete that message for me, because I don't want to see it. But it doesn't mean it doesn't go back in those old triggers that we have in our mind. And I started to question myself again, who the hell am I to be happy? Who the hell am I? And I've been told I'm not worthy. Even inside of you, that you have the conscious mind of fighting back. It's like, no, I'm worthy. I'm worth it. I know what I'm doing and all of that. But that creepiness in your unconscious minds, and do know this, our unconscious minds make up of 90% of my thinking thought. Only 10% is actually logical and is conscious. So that corniness that's starting to come back out on us, and that scared the shit out of me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, sometimes I would actually like have a tiny little bit of argument with my current partner, and then I start burst out crying, and then he hold me and I said that, why is he still controlling me? Why am I still feeling like this? Like, why? And it was like, after 2.5 years of working on myself, and I still have that feeling. And I'm like, why? Until I started to do NLP training. That changed my life. And there was two sentences that I will use every single time now if I am in that emotional state. Should I share it with everyone here?
Yes, please.
Wonderful. So what I have learned is that we have to respect the other people model of the world. Whatever they're thinking is their thinking. It's how they always see it. It has nothing to do with us. So that takes a lot of pressure out of my shoulder, that I stop needing to be the person that they expect me to be. I can finally go back within and say, hey, this is Martha. I'm allowed to be who I am. And I have to constantly repeat that questions in my head. Respect the other people models of the world and let them be their way. I'm not here to fight them. I'm not here to adjust them. I'm here to be myself and the best version of myself. So that sentence really helped. The second sentence that I got is, our belief is only real to us. Every single person has different belief. Just like you and I could like ice cream for different reasons. You like it for the sweetness. I like it for the freshness and the childhood memories that I got. So even that we do like something, our belief and our reason to like it is different. So what if that person have their sense of belief, such as bullying? It's like, oh, you look like a dag. Like, you know, you're not so like, you know, so out of date and things like that. But then that's their model of the world and that's their belief of fashion. I'm allowed to have my own belief and giving myself that permission and say, thank you for your opinion. Have a wonderful day. That's it. And that's what a more deeper knowledge that once you learn, you can starting to take that out. Instead of having anger, like a lot of time that when you told, oh, you look fat in that dress. What is our initial reaction? Defensive mode. Shells on. Fight.
Well, we look fat. That's what you get out of that whole thing. Yeah. Forget the dress. You're just fat.
Yeah. So like all that defensive system starting to come and fight. It's like that when someone is angry at you, do not ask that question. Why are you angry at me? What would that do? Immediately a double for all the emotion for that person to think about why, the reason and things like that. So I developed another method is to actually thank them for their opinion. So I say, thank you for your opinion. I appreciate it and have a wonderful day. Your answer is your, I respect your model of the world. Your belief is your belief. So I respect you. Have a wonderful day. And knowing that alone, it gives me a lot more joy of life and it sort of stopped them from continuing that bullying, because a bully will only continue to come to you when you react to something. If you don't react to it, everything's starting to calm down. So I'm not saying that this is a cowardly act. This is a much smarter act because you are not their mom. You are not their father. Why do you want to teach them? And if you're a coach, And if they are paying you, that's a different story. So if they're not paying you to educate them, I don't know. Is it a woman thing? I don't know. I don't know. I think guys, like, you know, my partner, he's very good. So he's also a coach himself. So he understands that fact as well. So whenever that we're in a little bit of an issue, and say, he thanked me first. It's actually very, very good to do that, because once you thank someone, all that defensive system come down. So if anyone are going into an argument, especially like what you said, a backup plan. If you're in an abusive relationship like I was, if you have someone that's keep yelling your head off, telling you that you didn't set the table right, you didn't cook a good meal, you didn't clean the house properly, say to them, thank you for letting me know. I will take that into consideration and I will work on it. Or, immediately, they cannot
thank you
fight
for
you anymore.
Well, true. Thank you for your opinion. I will file this where it belongs.
Nice. That's a good way too. There you go. So there's always better way for you to actually get out of things, because there's no point for going into an argument where you will get physically and mentally hurt. That's how I actually learned self-love now. Before, when I'll be very honest with your audience, I'm being very honest with you, Tina. During the time of my depression and going for trauma therapy, if anyone told me to have more self-love, I literally give them the finger and say F off. Because I thought I love myself. I have a good job. I look after myself well. I eat well. I dress well. What is not that I'm not loving myself?
Right.
I
think you are.
Know. I think I was. I thought that I was. I'm traveling everywhere by myself. I live in, I stay no less than a 4.5-star hotel for sure. It's like, you know, I look after myself. So what are you telling me that about self-love? I love myself. I didn't know what self-love means. I didn't know. Not until I finally realized, self-love is about having a voice. Self-love is about not being scared of what other people think of me. Self-love is about not fighting back, but to actually protect my heart, protect my vibration, and protect me as a person, so I will not get stabbed on, I will not get hit on, I will not get verbally abused on. That's what self-love means.
And boundaries, of course, right?
Yeah, and boundaries.
Being able to set up boundaries.
Yeah, like that was tough one, because I'm always this people pleaser. I'm always a nice person coming from a bully background, that you try to be that nice person that no one will actually have a chance to bully on. And that carries to you for life. And now that I have not stopped being the nice person, I'm still nice, but I'm as blunt as they come, that I will still ask for one thing. When you try to give out an advice or opinion, even with your friends or family or your kids even, ask for their permission first. Do I have your permission to be completely honest with you? Do I have your permission to actually share my view with you? It's that simple, because everybody likes to be respected. Everyone likes to have an option. Then who are we to take that away? Why not give it first so they feel respected and you will get the same in return? Just like what people say, I think the book called Secret or The Law of Attraction, you always get what you ask for. So instead of asking for pain, start asking for forgiveness. Start asking for respect. Just like that, I saw this beautiful story of a parent that who has 4 of their kids killed on a road accident, and what they come out to say was not blame. They said it's forgiveness. I forgive that person who done that, because I can't go back into the past to fix this, but I can learn to forgive and forgive myself and forgive the person. And that was one of the most bravest, most confident, and most beautiful thing I've seen, because we can get trapped in the emotion of thinking that I'm being abused and he's the bad person. I'm being abused, I'm being bullied, they are the bad person. And you don't have to do that, because it's a choice in your head that how you deal with the situation now.
I just wish there was more movies about, say, you know, your story, so that when we as women are put in those predicaments, in marriages and partnerships and relationships that we recognize what's going on. Because I feel that was one issue, is that you don't recognize those things are happening to you. So
because it probably will go to R18 instead of PG.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
But I just wish, you know, how many times, like if I had watched a movie and thought, oh, that's happening to me. Oh, that's weird. That's because you see it from a different angle when it's not onto you, right? Or if you see it with a friend, you can see it because you're on the outside looking in. You're not on the inside. So it seems like you get stuck in that inside part, I would say.
Definitely. And we do, like we said all the time, that it's very easy to coach another person, but it's very hard to coach yourself. And I always say that, hey, when we're in that emotional state, why not create our own Martha and call her as a sky angel or whatever you wanted to name her, and then start coach her and start giving her advice, because it's a lot easier when you coach another person than coaching to yourself.
I know, that's for sure. How many times have you thought of that? I'm sure.
I wish that I would create that avatar for myself so I can coach that Martha. It's like when you do hypnotherapy, so they go back into the space and time and teach that girl who was being abused there, and to tell them that, like, you know, what she needs to do and how she's protected. And I wish that I know this skill back into my days to wise up and heal myself, because no matter what sort of healing a healer does, and also a coach or a mentor, all they're really doing is not to give you advice. It's help you to see what you have inside, to help you to see the strength, because we are all equal. I believe that we are actually all equal. We all have the same confidence. We all have the same thing. And it's about how we bring that out. It's like learning English, as simple as that. Anyone can learn English if they choose to. Anyone can do a certain things if they choose to, because it's a choice by us. And we are the one that who often to tell us, nah, I can't do that. It's too hard. It's like when I write my first book, I say, what are you talking about? I can barely speak English and I have terrible pronunciation and I don't know any grammar. What are you talking about? I can become an author. And I'm like, I'm on my fifth book already. So what sort of BS belief system, or the other way you want to call it, are we actually telling ourselves that we can't do something? We're undermining our own good, our own power all the time. And it's not a fault. It's not a fault, because it's how the society tell us that we can't. Just like Tina said over here, I wish there was more movie telling people that they can do that. And the sad thing is people don't want to know about this too much. And that's why they need to come to a podcast like this, like Tina there, your backup plan, to help people to realize, hey, on the dark side, there's still light too. And it is you, someone like you, Tina, that who let other people know that there is a backup plan.
Well, that, and I hated when people said to me, Tina, you're so strong. You're so strong. Mm-hmm. No. No, I'm not. When you're in it, you don't feel strong at all. So how can you feel strong when you're in the midst of it? Now, after being away from it, you become strong. But during it, you're not strong. So how can you change that perspective?
Ask yourself why. What is the reason why that you need to get out of it? I always said that when we are at an emotional mind state, like when we're crying or something like that, the fastest way to get out of that emotion is to ask yourself a logical question. Find out the why that you want to be better. Find out the why you need to be in that state, and why do you want to go into another state. A lot of people said that they need motivation to keep them going. I say go and get an alarm clock if you need to get motivated, because all you need to do is set certain hours of the day. Like this morning, I get up at 6-ish to come to a podcast. And yesterday was 4:30 too. So think about it. If you need motivation, all you need is an alarm clock to get up. The true motivation comes from the why within. Why am I doing this? Because I want to share my voice. Why am I doing this? Because I want to connect with amazing people. Why am I doing this? Because we are worth it. I am no longer worthless. I am no longer useless. I am no longer scared and be triggered by the past emotion. That's my why, and that's my motivation.
Well, that's definitely, yeah, mine too, after the fact. But during, you're asking yourself a whole lot of questions of why is he doing this? Why is he saying this to me? I feel like I'm a nice person, so why am I so awful? Why is someone telling me I'm so horrible? And I understand that the forgiveness comes in, but how do you switch that trigger in your mind? Because my why was a car accident that switched the light bulb from off to on. But for you or someone else listening, what could that light bulb be for them? What does it take for you to realize how you're being treated and that you actually don't like it and it's making you feel sad? That's it in a nutshell, really.
The truth is, like you said, keep asking why, what would that do to me? It's that I get more upset. So after all that expression, you can only cry for so long. You can only get upset for so long. So after that, so what do I do with my life? So I stop asking why and asking what can I do? And why is the only why I ask is what do I want? That's the reason. Like, what do I want in life? So instead of asking why, that would keep me in the low, because you can only be in low for so long. And then I ask, okay, so what do I want? I'm in this situation now. So what do I want? I want happiness. Okay, what is the next step to do? It is the switching for me. Like for me, my switch was my 40 years old birthday. Like I said, I only got 20 years left. What do I want to do in my life? Instead of why I want to be single in this relationship, I ask.
Or why are they acting like that? Why are they doing that? Yeah, it's all
it doesn't help.
Crap.
Yeah, it doesn't help. That's why I said to everyone, when you are in an emotional situation, do not ask yourself why, because you will never get an answer. First thing, that means you're wasting your time. If you want to let emotional outburst, which I think is an absolutely fantastic idea, because without releasing that emotion, you can't have things straight. Because I went through a stage that I could not cry for more than 30 seconds, no matter how hard, how much my brain and my heart wants to cry. So I've been through that mental state as well. So I say, okay, stop asking the why, because asking a why couldn't even make me cry. So what do I do to make myself cry? I start to ask for what. And it worked, because I cry, but it's leasing out emotions. That what else do I need to do? And it sort of gives me hope at the same time as well. So the big switch for everyone is don't ask why, but ask what else can I do and what instead.
And what do I need?
Not how. Yeah, not how to, like, you know, how it create a lot of confusions. So ask what I want first. Then when you are a better mental state, then ask how. When you ask how, you're starting to go to look for your answer, like a podcast, like what you have here, Tina, and other resources that is actually outside, like a Facebook group or something. So that's when you ask. So stop asking why, start asking what. And then when you're better, go and ask how.
Right, because then you're going to put it all together, because your mindset is moving forward.
Exactly. Because when we're in depression and when we're at that mental state, we are completely a train wreck. So we can't think straight. So how do we help ourselves to think back straight is by asking the quality question that we have for ourselves. We talk to ourselves all the time. Like, that's normal. It's just like asking why. So why not talk to ourselves what instead? So it's a really a control that you can gain back. I love to share this little story with all of our audience here. When I was about 4 years old, I did something naughty and I can't even remember what it is. And my father chose to have a knife step onto my hand to teach me a lesson. That was the first time I experienced fear, and I still got the marks to prove it on my arm. And when I was doing timeline therapy, it took me back to that stage of what happened in that moment. And then it asked me one very ridiculous question. Have a guess what it is. It asked me to find the positive learning from that moment. And I'm like, my dad is stepping me. I can see my vein is green and blue and blood is gushing out. So you want me to find a positive learning? I'm like, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Are you kidding me? So I was like, okay, so what is the positive learning? I'm like, he's not such a bad person. I forgive him. And then all of those stuff. The last thing I said was, I'm in control. That completely changed my life because I was going for my second depression at that time. And it's like, wow, I realized that I can't be in control of that situation. I can't be in control of that, what other people do. But what I can be in control now is my brain and how I think. It's like a snap switch that you just said that will wake me up at that moment and say, wow, I was living like a zombie for the last few months. I feel like a corpse that have no energy. No, I have a face on, but that's it. I was empty, alone, crying for help, but I was too scared to share myself. I don't know what to do. But until that moment, that switched to me and say, hey, I'm in control. Wow, that completely changed my life. And give me that emotion again so I can start asking how again. What again? And then before I ask for how.
Oh, that's really nice. Thank you for sharing that. Because I know that you have to start looking at, well, you don't have to do anything, but to change your perspective and look at it is that's their apple. That's their stuff. That's their issues or forgiveness and compassion and empathy for someone who has those opinions.
Yes.
I guess that's building your strength up within yourself to be able to have that attitude. Because when you're in the dark and you're being mentally abused, you don't feel strong. You don't feel like you can take over the world or that you can even say anything to someone who's yelling at you. You know, you find yourself little and fearful and scared, very scared. So what, is there anything that you can say to yourself during those moments of, you know, I'm sure you had many of them too, Martha, where the person's over top of you and, you know, it's this, that, and it's all pointed at you.
And I think that the best thing is, again, to learn that one sentence and glue it into your head. I respect the other people model of the world. It's their thing. It's not my thing. No matter what they say, it's their belief. It's not my belief. That helped me to keep my cool. That really helped me to keep my cool because it is hard when you are in an argument and I say like, you know, do you want me to leave? Do you want me to stay? Like, you know, give them an option. So I become this really hard woman. But in the same time is that understand that I'm respecting you for giving you an option as well. So you have to learn to respect me. Simple as that. So having that boundary coming out, that is something that we have to learn. And something that we have to build up. And that's why that people have an option to choose to come into our podcast today and learn a few things from us. Because that knowledge stick with us forever. It Absolutely. May not, it may not come up in your normal good days. But this conversation you're listening to right now could come up when you are in need. And that's what we wanted to do to be able to provide you. And I'm sure it's Tina's mission here to give you the backup plan. When you need it, we're here.
It's there. I find it so crazy that I wish that we had training in school when you're younger to be able to, you know, have that maybe kung fu fighting type of, you know, how they teach women to be better prepared for, you know, to how to look after yourself. I wish there was that kung fu fighting for the outside and the inner work that you could be strong and powerful on the inside. You know, it might be against that horrible boss that you come up across that you don't know how to handle. And all you do is leave going away crying. Or it might be a partner or a girlfriend or a relative or someone else that's treating you like crap. And I think that would be a really good career, is to have the fighting aspect as well as the inner work aspect to combine. That would be cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of teen coaches out there as well that will help with that. But one other thing that a lot of people don't realize is that we also, as a parent, we are the adult that we have the responsibility to share that as well. When every single time we disrespect our kids, we don't give them an option. We are taking that power away. We're telling them not to do this, instead of, like, of course, if they're killing themselves, that's a different story. But like, not allowing them to do something, we are actually taking a strip of their confidence away. So helping them to learn how to build up their confidence from a young age, letting them know that they can say no to a certain thing, learn how to set healthy boundaries around themselves. Just like you're dating a guy for the first time, you learn not to sleep with them on the first night. Something like that, that we can actually teach them as adults, we can teach them as parents.
Yeah, because the only thing that I ever remember my mom saying to me, and it wasn't for a date or anything, it was just going to a friend's house. She would say, if you never feel uncomfortable or that you feel not loved or something strange is happening, just say, oh, I'm sorry, I hear my mom calling, I better go now. So that was her out, like, for allowing me to know when it's okay to know that it's not all right to still be there. And I think that was a really good thing for a young girl to know, or a boy to know, that it's okay to feel uncomfortable and know it's right from wrong at that time.
Exactly. And that does come from the parents, of how we teach them. I know these days that we are all trying to fight for our life and put food on the table. And that is the common excuse that us as parents do. And like we said that, oh, okay, we don't have time to look after the kids. By the time that we finish all of that, we're already exhausted. And it's like, okay, then how about we work on something that everyone can share the task to make things better? There's always an option and a solution to things. It's just depending on how we see the situation, and do we allow that there's an option available.
And to know there's an option.
That's a mind state as well.
Yes. Because boy, oh boy, when you're in the dark in that black room, gosh, it's hard to see the light between the door. Oh man, it's tough.
It is. It is tough. But the good thing is, guess what? There is a light behind the door.
There is. And it's beautiful. Once you open it, and it's anything that you can put your mind to. It's magical. It's beautiful. It's whatever that you see is the most beautiful thing in the world. And that's what's behind that door.
Exactly. And it is okay to have a slip up, I always say, like, because we are human, we have slip up time. But it's also allowing ourselves, okay, once after the slip up, it's time to get back on track and doing what we are best in. And it does take time to build up a confidence, build up your audience, build up your authority. It does take time, but we got to learn to be patient. A lot of people have lack of patience. Like I saw something on the internet yesterday. It's like, oh, I hate those group invites and stuff like that. I hate connecting to people, and she wants to be a coach. And I'm like, okay, your model is your model of the world. If you don't like to connect with other people, I understand your field, but maybe, like, I didn't say that, but in my head is, you need to go and find a job instead of actually trying to connect with other people if you hate connecting to other people. Like, a lot of people like think that they can do something, but then they say, like, you know, they see over, oh my God, this is overwhelming. What? I need to be on social media. I need to be on podcasts. I need to be showing my face, really? And it's like having that confidence, like, okay, I don't mind my double chin. I don't mind that I haven't got my hair done properly. I got a headphone on. I don't mind. You need to have built up that confidence within. And that's what I teach with my coaching course, is to teach people the first thing to do is not about how to become a coach. It's about how to become you. That's the first thing.
Isn't that the truth? So tell us about, before we go, tell us about your books.
My books, I have, okay, my first one is called Five, Don't Survive Even When Times Are Tough. I was inspired during COVID that I feel like we're in lockdown. It's so scary. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to put everything together into this little book. It's a 2-minute read for every single tips there. And just to give them a bit of motivation. Yeah, it's like, you know, the artwork wasn't done by me. I tried to play around with it a bit. I didn't know how to fix it at that time. So yeah, things like that that's come. The second book I make was designed for coaches to help them get out of their overwhelming feeling, because I was feeling burnout and overtime and overwhelming at that time. And the third one was Action is Proof, which is something that I write dedicated to my cat that who passed away, because I was feeling like shit during that time. And it was my choice to get out of bed or just to stay in bed. And I choose to take little steps at a time to allow myself to get out of it. And the fourth one was the Global Achiever, a collaborated book. And the last one that I just did was the Super Confident Success Formula. It's for people that who wants to build up confidence in themselves and find out the way. My beautiful funnel designer, Dawn Walls, have just helped me to put in a new link together. I sent it to Tina already. So you can get two of my books, which is the five Don't Survive Even When Times Are Tough, and the Action is Proof, 6 Steps to Stop Procrastination, and Anything You Dream is Possible as Long as You Take Action to Prove It. So those two books are for all your audience here to enjoy, to download. And I have empowerment sessions linked in there as well. If you are suffering from an issue, if you want to find a safe space to reach out for help, I want to be that person for you to be able to reach out and say, hey, this is what we can do right now, and giving you a light behind that door and to let you slowly open that door, slowly, to realize that light has always been there.
Yeah, and for some reason, you just don't see the damn thing.
A lot of us don't, and it's a challenge, but we will, give them patience and the right guidance, and give them the support and give them the respect to be at their own place. A lot of us in coaching, that we can see the end of the tunnel already, of this is the best solution for them. However, as a client, they will not be able to see it so quickly. And if we push them that way, like shooting a 3-pointer at the basketball field, they get scared and they run away from the other side. So instead of doing that, let's do a crisscross step for them so they can go under the basket to start shooting the ball in. That makes them feel a lot better and a lot easier to take. Like I said, being vulnerable is a step in a journey. Yeah. I'm able to be here today to talk about everything. It took me almost a year to actually get to this stage. It's not easy, but I'm proud of that I'm doing it. And every single time before I go onto a podcast, I do get a little bit nervous as well. Don't know what it's going to be, but I guess that we did pretty well today. No too much muck up, which is fun. but let's remember this as well. There's always no failure. There's only learning and feedback. And by taking the learning and the feedback, that's how we become kick ass the next time.
That's absolutely it. Lessons after lessons after lessons. That's what exactly. We're here for, right? Oh, thank you. That was awesome. Did you want to say anything else for the final messages to the audience?
I want everyone to know that there is always a backup plan. No matter what situation you're in, there is a way out. Tina, her podcast is a wonderful way for you to know what is out there for you. So subscribe, like her channel, and stay connected with all of us, because we are here for you when you want it to be.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you. I would, I wish I would have known you 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, never too late.
You know, it's when you're in it and you don't know what to do, you could always use a friend like Martha to give you that guidance, I'm sure.
Thank you. Thank you, Tina.
Well, thank you, everybody. It was a beautiful, beautiful. And why not? Why isn't it not a great show when it's got me doing this great work for you guys too? I bring taboo subjects. Like, who would have ever thought we could talk about these things with each other and getting them out there? Because I always said, why do we not see this? Why can we not see it from a different angle when we're struggling inside? And you allow us to see this from a different light, Martha. So thank you so very much. You have, you know, I always say Brené Brown says everyone has a story that will bring you to your knees and be the survival guide for someone else. What will your story be? And that's exactly Martha. Because you have learned all these things to share with our listeners. So thank you for having the courage and the grace and the compassion for your own situation to be able to share it with us today. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina. And thank you, audience, for listening.
So thank you, everybody. Thank you so much for coming out. Don't forget, like, share, and subscribe down here in the corner so you don't forget where we're at and what video that we might be putting up there that you're going to miss if you don't. So, and I always, always, you know, prepare for the unexpected. Tell that person that you're thinking about right now in your own mind, reach out, say, I love you, because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. So, and I always end our podcast and our live streams with Carol Burnett, because she was the best comedian in the whole wide world that gave everybody love and laughter. And those are two wonderful things together. So I'm so glad we had this time together. Just to have a laugh or sing a song, seems we just get started. And before you know it, comes a time we have to say so long. So long, everyone. I was so happy to have you and Martha together today. Martha has some great tips and tricks for us. I can't thank her enough for all of her words of wisdom and her journey. So thank you again, Martha, for coming out.
Thank you so much for having me, Tina.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Stay safe. Wear your mask. Get your vaccine if you so feel inclined. And yeah, be there tomorrow for the rest of us. So thank you. Thank you, everyone. Be the light. Be love to someone that you care about. Lots of love. Bye for now. Martha, you stay there.